Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I've got another cut of Ben Stein trying to explain his position, defend his position on, quote, science. And this is on Glenn Beck's program last November. This is about his new movie coming out. Ben Stein has a movie coming out sometime in the next month called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. You know, he's a pretty bright guy, whether you knew him in as a comedian or you knew him in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or, gosh, he was in The Mask. He was the psychiatrist or the, maybe he was an anthropologist maybe, in The Mask. But best known for Ben Stein's Money. He's a smart guy, and yet he seems to be totally ignorant when it comes to the nature of science, or else he's letting his religious views block his ability to understand science. Let's listen to him on the Glenn Beck program.
You know, it used to be that you could count on every family owning at least one book, the Holy Bible. Well, America, make room on the shelf for one more. Yes, my brand new book, An Inconvenient Book, available now at glennbeck.com. And while it may not be filled with, you know, quite as much wisdom as the good book, it's this close. Chapter 8 is called Education Through Indoctrination. It tells the tale of how our kids in college aren't being taught. They're being force-fed one liberal, socialist, anti-American point of view, one right after another.
Well, I hardly know where to start there. As a college professor, I suppose he would accuse me of being guilty of this. Yes, I jam my public speaking classes and my interpersonal small group communication classes just full of liberal claptrap, like how to be a more effective communicator. It's hard to know where to start with that rant of Glenn Beck's. If you don't know Glenn Beck, he has a radio show and a TV show on MSNBC. He's anti-global warming to the point of being pretty rabid about it, and fairly anti-science, although he surprises you sometimes. He's not quite as far out as some people on the far right. But he believes, obviously, that college students are being indoctrinated. And once again, I come back to the Stephen Colbert quote when he told George Bush he should ignore the facts on the ground in Iraq. His explanation was because, as we all know, reality has a well-known liberal bias. That is, when people complain about the New York Times as being too liberal, part of what they complain about is that the New York Times accepts what science has learned and understands about the universe. It accepts what we know about the nature of education. It accepts what we know about the nature of people in psychology. Are we absolutely positive about everything? No. But the bodies of knowledge that have been created in all these areas are huge. We know a tremendous amount. There's so much information out there that we understand now about how human beings work, about how the universe works, about how machines work. And that's what gets imparted in universities. Now, there's always the occasional professor or even department that may go off the deep end and actually be a bunch of liberal claptrap. But you shouldn't characterize the university that way. It's really an ignorant thing to do, because the average university professor is collecting their data, publishing their research studies, going in to teach their classes. They could care less about political ideology. What happens is, when you open your mind and you learn a lot about the universe and you learn a lot about human behavior and human culture, what you realize is there are multiple points of view and that the world's not black and white. And a lot of times what people are arguing for is a black and white view of the world. And that's what I think Glenn Beck is probably arguing for here. Let's let him talk a little more.
You don't have to take my word for it. Ben Stein is also the author of a new book, Real Stars, and he has a brand new documentary coming out called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, that shows wholesale attempts by the scientific and university communities to push their agenda down the throats of our children. Ben, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I've been watching you with great...
So I love that. Push their agenda down the throats of our children. So it turns out if you go to get a college education, you will get your mind expanded. The purpose of college is to teach people how to get an education the rest of their life. So the purpose of college is to teach critical thinking skills, among other things. Teach you how to look at evidence, weigh evidence, look at both sides of an issue. Teach you how to set aside your preconceived bias, the lenses we tend to have on when we start looking at a particular issue that say, oh, I think it goes this way, and actually weigh facts. That's what college does for people. And it turns out there are levels of intellectual development. You can check out William Perry's book from the 1960s. But Perry's book, entitled Intellectual and Ethical Development in the College Years, tracked 9 stages of intellectual development. And everybody can go through these stages. It's just that college tends to accelerate the stages because you're engaged in intensive intellectual development in those years. And to simplify it, without going through the 9 stages, to simplify it into 3 stages, the 3 stages of intellectual development are, first, basic duality, that is black and white thinking. Second, multiplicity, where you see multiple points of view, but you still think you know the right one. To relativism, where you understand the contextual nature of knowledge, that knowledge itself, by definition, has to be seen within the context in which it's collected, and that in one culture, what's, quote, right or accepted as true is different than what's accepted in another culture. But when you're immersed in that culture, you can't see that. You have to step back from your culture, from your situation, to be able to see the relative nature of knowledge depending on the assumptions you make and the perspective you start with. Now, this drives people on the far right crazy, like Sean Hannity, like Glenn Beck, because the idea of relativism is foreign to them. They can't deal with it. Let me give you an example. Go back to basic duality, black and white thinking. We all start there, right? Children have black and white thinking. When kids are little, we say, is it wrong to lie, Mommy? Yes, it's always wrong to tell a lie. You should always tell the truth. We tell them in black and white how to do it. And then one day, they might be 4, they might be 6, they might be 8 or 10, when they can more understand it, they overhear Mommy on the telephone tell a little white lie to their neighbor. The neighbor wants her to come over for coffee, and she says, oh, I can't, I'm too busy, or I can't, I've got to take my son to the doctor's, or whatever she says. She gets off the phone, and the son says, Mom, you just told a lie to Mrs. Johnson. You're not too busy, or you're not taking me to the doctor today. And she said, well, Johnny, you need to understand something. I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so I made up that story. She said, but Mom, that's a lie. She says, well, it's a little white lie, Johnny. Sometimes adults do that. And kids suddenly discover, in a moment, that things aren't black and white, that there aren't just lies and truth. There are shades of gray. And that takes them into the stage of multiplicity, where many people remain their whole life at various levels of sophistication of multiplicity. For example, William Perry had, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 variations on multiplicity, but basically you understand there are multiple points of view to an issue, but you may think in the beginning, the lowest levels of multiplicity, well, I understand there are other points of view, and our point of view is right, and theirs is wrong, whatever in-group you're in, whether it's political, religious, scientific. Then you move on to more sophisticated views that say, oh, well, it depends what you assumptions you start with, but there is a right answer out there somewhere. So there are different levels of multiplicity, and most adults, I think, spend their time in this, their entire life in this area of multiplicity once they graduate out of basic duality, basic black and white thinking. But then some people, and a college education can do this for you. I think it used to be that you could get there with 4 years of college back when the college education taught you more. Now, because there's so much training and hands-on stuff and less intellectual pursuit in college, I think it requires graduate school. I didn't understand what relativism was or why it was the highest form of intellectual development until I went to graduate school. And I read about these things, and you reflect on these things. And the truth is, what we've discovered is that in most areas of human knowledge, relativism rules. That is, it depends on where you start and what assumptions you make. Or it depends what culture you start in, what you think is right or wrong, or what you think passes as knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't, quote, absolutes, right? We think of gravity as an absolute. We think of time as an absolute. Whoops! Einstein comes along with the theory of relativity and demonstrates that time is not an absolute. That, as strange as it sounds, if you can travel near the speed of light, we could send you in a spaceship towards another star, and then you come back in 200 years, all the people you know will be dead because 200 years will have passed on Earth. But maybe only, depending on your speed, maybe only 5, 10, or 20 years will have passed in your life. You will still be alive. That is as empirical a proof as it gets that time is relative. Well, that's been so well proven and it's so well accepted by science, even though it's counterintuitive to you and me and the way we think, relativity is now taught in high schools. And pretty much everybody accepts that strange kind of a quirk, that time is relative, everybody accepts that's true. Even though in our heart of hearts we think, how can that be? So, to recap, the stages of intellectual development are basic duality, black and white thinking, multiplicity, where you see a multiple set of views, but you somehow come to grips and choose one, and relativity, where you say, you know, I'm going to have to put a stake in the ground and choose one, but these others may be valid points of view. They aren't wrong, necessarily. By definition, they aren't wrong. And, of course, when you look at things like politics, you see the black and white thinking going on all the time with 20%ers. That is, the people on the far right, the 20% on the far right, and the 20% on the far left. When Harry Reid came out and said that we weren't winning in Iraq, the naysayers on the right came back and said, well, then we must be losing. No, it's possible that we could lose the war, but the other side wouldn't win it. That is, there are gray areas in the world, and you have to have a cognitive structure sophisticated enough to deal beyond black and white simplistic thinking. Let's give Glenn Beck another shot at, frankly, at showing his ignorance.
Glee.
You know, he said to me right before we went on the air that you thought that I was doing a parody of a conservative.
Right,
because
you're so conservative.
Yeah.
Oh, that says a lot right there.
Thank you very much. Okay, tell me about what you found about indoctrination when it comes to God in our schools.
Well, this was for a documentary, which, as you say, is called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. We were studying what our kids taught about evolution, where they taught about how life originated. What we found is that if you question evolution at all, you have a good chance of losing tenure, you have a good chance of getting fired, losing your grant, you're out of there.
Okay, I got to stop him there. First of all, that's Ben Stein, of course. First of all, I doubt if anyone has ever lost tenure in this country for questioning evolution. I want to see the evidence. I want to see the cases. You'll notice in all of this, and I've listened to everything I could find on Ben Stein in these interviews, he's done others as well, he never gives a specific name or example. He just says it goes on. So I guess I'll go see the movie when it comes out, but I want to know who was denied tenure or lost tenure. And frankly, this is not about God. He's saying that the universities are conspiring against God. Evolution is about science. It has nothing to say about God. Science has nothing to say about God. People have got to get this straight. It's agnostic about God. It can't say yes, it can't say no about God, because it deals in empirical evidence, and God belongs to the supernatural.
And yet, evolution and Darwinism do not explain an awful lot about life. Darwin said nothing about how life originated. Darwin had no idea of how complicated the cell was.
Okay, so we've already dealt with this. It is true that the origin of the species as a theory, the theory of evolution, doesn't talk about the beginning of life. And I guess you'd have to go back to the Big Bang to say that that would come with the beginning of the universe and then life appeared. And it is true that scientists are still struggling with it. But just because you can't explain something doesn't mean your alternate explanation is true. That is God or intelligent design. You know, the Egyptians worshipped the sun. Were they far off? It was the source of heat. It was the source of all light. It was the source of energy. They didn't understand it, so they assumed it was a god. As time goes on, our knowledge got more sophisticated, and we understood the sun is not a god. We don't understand everything today. That doesn't mean you give up.
Darwin was never able to point to any clear evidence of any species that had originated by evolution.
Okay, Darwin wasn't, but since then plenty of scientists have done it. In fact, in recent years, they're starting to show that evolution takes place much quicker than we thought. In just a few generations, there are things being evolved, components of animals being evolved. So I'm not going to get in tonight to the claims of the anti-evolutionists and how they've been debunked, but they're all over the internet. And if you are interested in the truth, go out and look at what the scientists say who are willing to waste their time and tackle every argument, and you'll see how this works. Anyway, we'll give him one more shot, and then we'll close this down.
There hasn't been much progress in Darwinism since then, but we found that if you even question the established church of Darwinism, bang, you're gone.
Okay, he says there hasn't been much progress in Darwinism since then. Well, that is such nonsense. We covered this before. There have been hundreds of thousands of studies. There's certainly been tens of thousands of studies in multiple lines of literature, in hundreds of journals, that further what we know about evolution. And he then uses the phrase, the Church of Evolution. This is what Ann Coulter tried to do in her last book, claim that science is not what it is, a pursuit of knowledge by empirical means, but rather a form of faith. No, that's what intelligent design is. That's what a belief in God is. That's what a belief in ESP or magic is, because there's no empirical evidence that we can look at for those things. You have to accept it on faith. And it's fine if you accept it on faith, just don't bring those kinds of explanations into the world of science, into the classroom, and expect to be respected, because that's not how science works. There are rules in that game, and you have to play by the rules. That'll do it for the Andy Finn Show for this week. We will be back next week with another exciting edition. Until then, you can read some of my writings, and you can listen to this and other shows through podcasts. Start by going to andyfinn.us. That's andyfinn.us. And until next week, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.